Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Give me a minute here. So anyways, in Sunday school, God's been speaking to me about... Thank you, Terry. So Brian prayed, and I asked God, first of all, if you really want me to get up and say something, just let me know for sure. Because I'm always afraid that I might say something that is in my spirit or in my head that God's not actually saying. So anyways, I asked God this morning to really let me know for sure if He wants me to get up. And Brian prayed, and it was all about love. That's what this song is about. So God just wants me to tell you that He loves you. He loves all of us. And He's encouraging us to walk in what the standing that He has for us, that we are sons of God, and that He loves us. And He wants us to get out of the boat and walk on the water. And if we do fail, He's there to pick us up. And Peter actually walked on the water going back to the boat in the storm with Jesus. So no matter what we're going through, we all have something that we're going through, healings or, you know, sickness or whatever it is. But God is there for us to break through the wall. And we're at the Red Sea moment, like in the elections, or if you're dealing with some deadly disease or something horrible, God's there, and He loves us enough to provide a way out and to just give us hope and faith. And that's all we need. That's all God wants us to have, faith in Him, and He'll do the rest. We just have to learn to rest in Him and let God do it. And that's all I can remember. So thank you.
And in the Bible, there's the story of the lady who has the issue with blood. And, you know, I just love it because in a crowd of people, it was just this focus of, I just need to get to Him. I don't need to hear Him say anything to me. I don't have to get all of His attention. I just need to touch Him. If I can just get to Him and touch Him. She knew that who He was and what He said was real. And that if she just touched the hem of His garment, that power would flow. And it did.
Yes.
Because she believed in the words that were spoken. And it's the same thing in our life. We go after the word and we believe the words that are spoken, the promises that He's given to us, we'll begin to see things come forth in our life. Even when circumstances, physical things around us show something different, we just gotta know that He has spoken and it will be done. Because He's promised it. Those words in that Bible are promises to you. They're words given to you. That when you go into this world, that you have those every tool that you need at your side. It's within you. The Holy Spirit holds on to it. The Bible talks about the words being written upon your heart. And when they're needed, He brings them forth in your life. They come back. There's these times where you might think, God, I'm not remembering all these things that You're saying. I'm not remembering. And it's good to journal. It's good to do those things. But the truth is that when He wants you to say something, when He needs you to, He'll bring them forth.
Yep.
We just gotta believe that the things He's spoken are true. The words that He's spoken are true. They're living. They're not just empty words. They're living. They're with us through everything. And when we need them, He brings them to us in the perfect moment. That's what's so amazing about this song. By Your stripes, I am healed. because your word said I'm healed. In the Bible, you said, by your stripes, I have been healed. It's not you're going to be healed. It's not sometime in the future. It's I have been healed. You have been. Healing's already there. He tells us that he's the great counselor. He tells us that he is the I am. That there's all of these things are promises spoken to you. So take hold of them. Take hold of them and know that when those words are spoken, they are true. And they will come forth in your life. Just stand on them, regardless of what's around you. We gotta start realizing that we're not of this world. We're of the kingdom. So we have to start operating in a different way. We have to start realizing that those words that are given to us are something that we hold on to even when the storm rages around us. It's what helps us through those things. It's what gives us strength. It's what gives us courage. It's what gives us the peace that passes all understanding. He tells us that his burden is light and his yoke is easy. It's because we're not meant to do it ourselves. We're meant to go after him and allow him to walk with us daily. Allow him to feed us. Allow him to give us that bread of life that we need in order to get through every single thing that might come our way. What's a surprise to us, he knew about from the beginning. Man. Can anybody get excited about that? What problem comes up tomorrow for you, he knew about from the day that he created you. He knew about it already. And he's already giving you things in your life to deal with them if you would just turn to him. Yeah. That's all he needs. That's all he's wanting is come to me. Come to me and I will make it easy for you. That's what he's telling. I'll give you a light in your burden. I'll make the yoke easy. Yeah. All you gotta do is trust in me. He tells us that all we need to do is be still. And he'll fight for us. Those things are promises given, but they're also things that we constantly want to take into our own hands. We constantly, the Bible tells us that we're made up of the spirit, soul, and body. And that spirit is supposed to go before you. It just is. It's supposed to be what's leading you. It's the reason I loved it because I always learned about the spirit, soul, and body from my dad. And before, whenever I would talk about him, sometimes I'd say, oh, the body, the soul, and the spirit, or, you know, different ways. But then I was talking to my dad about it, and I just love how when you read it in the Bible, it actually says it exactly the way it's meant for it to be. Which is the spirit first. Because that's the thing, is this body will very easily tell us based on emotions, based on its needs, what it thinks that we should have. It'll constantly be telling us, no, no, you need to go do something about that. No, you need to figure that out right now. No, you can't wait on that. You need to figure out what you're going to do because it's important. No, you're hungry now. You can't wait for a little bit. No, it's because it's the emotions. It's the soul that's speaking. But we have to learn that the spirit is supposed to come first. When our body's telling us, fix it and you need to move, our spirit is saying, no, wait on me. I'm gonna fix it for you. I'm gonna give you the answer. I'm gonna show you exactly what you should do, but you gotta wait. You gotta be still. Stop letting your body tell you what you need to do now. Let me tell you what you should do.
Amen.
When we begin to operate the way he created us, yeah, is when we'll begin to see, yeah, everything that the world needs come to pass. It's when the church will begin to rise up. It's when he'll start seeing his bridegroom ready, yeah, because we'll begin to operate in a way that's different, in a way that is completely different from the way the world functions. And that's who we're meant to be. We're meant to be the city on a hill. We're meant to be the light and the salt of the earth. Yeah. We're meant to be great, yeah, because that's who he created us to be, yeah, just like him. the things that he did in the Bible were not just, they weren't just things that only he could do to show his power. No, he was training us. He was showing us, this is who you're created to be. I came to earth to show you who you are. I came to earth to show you what I created you for. I didn't create you just to exist. I created you for a purpose. I created you for life and life more abundantly. I created you for more. But we have to go after him for that. We gotta press in. We gotta want more. We gotta say, God, even when I feel like I don't hear you speak, I'm gonna keep pressing in because I know that you will speak to me because your word is true. You are truth. You cannot lie. So everything you tell me, I'm gonna stand on because I know that you gave it to me as a foundation, a firm foundation. So if we can just sing the chorus of this song one more time and just know as we go back into this, this is your promise. He's already given it to you. He's already given you all things, life, life more abundantly. So let's just sing it and let's just worship him.
All right, so I'm not big on coming up and speaking, but before church today, Pastor Henry told us that there's going to be a word that we're going to receive for 2021, and I think I've already received mine today. It's preparedness. We need to start being prepared for a lot of different things. I see people in Walmart preparing by buying toilet paper, buying water and stuff, but we also need to be prepared for what's in this book right here.
Yeah.
And understanding it. We need to be prepared for the seats being filled here coming shortly. I really believe that.
Hallelujah.
And we need to constantly think about those type of things. And, you know, it's also said we need to be prepared for the return of the King. So I just want everybody to keep that in mind.
Come on, man. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else in the house that would like to minister to the body of Christ this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Well, then you're stuck with me. Amen? But he says, amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to shove this out. I was pushing it the other day, and it fell apart. And so I put it back together. And I was hoping it wouldn't fall apart in front of you when it, praise God. Isn't God good? Yes. Hallelujah. Last service for the year. Amen? Praise God. So I know you, what you're thinking. Well, it better be good. Amen? Come on. It better be good. Come on. I believe God has given me a word this morning. And I do really believe that God has given this word because it is a word of instruction for the new year. How many say I need a word for the new year? Amen? How many say that? Man? Come on, God, give me something. Hallelujah. God, throw me a bone. Is that right? Come on, man. Give me something to chew on. I believe God wants to give each and every one of us something this morning. Somehow it comes in the manner of you understanding and knowing exactly who you are in Christ. How many say amen to that? Do you know that it's so important that you know who you are? It's so important that you know that he paid a price for you. Is that okay? He bought you with his own blood. Amen? Hallelujah. So it's important. Ooh, come on, man. It's important that you understand that he is speaking to you, even this morning or tomorrow on your way to work or wherever you're going, whatever. God can speak to you no matter where. He said this, my sheep hear my voice. Amen? Amen? So, folks, I mean, there's a lot of voices in the world today. Amen? Mine's one of them. But it's not so much important what you hear me say, but what is important to you is what God is saying to you personally. You have to know what God is saying to you. Is that okay? Because in that way, when you know what he's saying to you, you're going to know exactly what to do anytime, anywhere, Any place. I guess it's the same as anywhere. Any place. Is that right? Wherever you're at, you're going to know exactly what to do and what not to do. How many of you say amen to that? Have you ever done something you should have said after you walked away? You said, I should not have done that. Amen. Hallelujah. Your time with the Holy Spirit, your time with God in prayer and in your closet with Him is a direct connection to what He might have for you if you'll spend that time. How many say amen to that? Amen. God is after you. How many say? You know what I'm saying? He's after you. My pastor at First Assembly used to say, He's the hound of heaven, the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's after you. He wants to show you things and help you to understand things that are going on around you. Is that important to you? Can I tell you, everything going on around you means something. Is that right? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Everything going around you means something. But sometimes we don't get what He's saying, what He's meaning. So it's important that you personally go to Him and say, God, what are you saying in this? The world is saying all of this, but what are you saying, God? What are you saying in this? And I will tell you, when you begin to approach God in that way, you're going to begin to hear things you never thought you'd hear. You're going to begin to understand things you never thought you had the ability to understand. Because the fact of the matter is, it's not you, it's Him in you. Revealing things that he's always wanted to show you, but because now you're in the midst of asking God and saying, God, what is it? Show me, God. What do you want me to do? Now He's beginning to open His word to you. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. So this morning, I really feel that God has given me kind of a word that some of you are going to have a little trouble with it. Okay, is that all right? But it's okay. Let me say amen. It's okay. It's okay to hear things. Is that right? The Word of God tells us to try the Spirit, see if it's of God. Is that right? So if it sounds a little off, sounds a little strange to you, you don't have to come and tell me how, hey, that's not right. Go before the Lord and say, God, what I just heard, God, is this right or is this wrong? That's another thing, that's another place that's important to you. Because we can hear a lot of stuff today. And it's important that you're able to filter out what is good for you and what's not good for you. And the only one to do that for you is the Holy Spirit. He will give you the understanding and the wisdom and the guidance and all these things. Is that okay? Are you glad you serve a mighty God? Are you glad you serve a God that knows more about you than you know about yourself? Are you glad about that? Are you glad that He says in His Word that he that believes in me, that you will be free? Is that right? No shackles, nothing tying you back, holding you down. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you will be free? Not only free, but free indeed. Especially free. Huh. Do you believe it? You have said it. Is that, how's it go? You have spoken. You have spoken. And what? What's the rest of it?
And I know that it is so.
Thank you. And I what?
And I know that it is so.
And I what?
No.
Come on, man. Come. And I what? You have spoken. You have spoken. When God speaks, can I tell you, when God speaks to you, you know it so. Is that right? His voice is like no other voice that you ever hear. His voice is distinct. It touches you within. It touches not your mind, it touches your heart. Hallelujah. So you have spoken, and I know that it is so. So this morning, let's pray, Father. We come before you this morning, Father God, with hungry, hungry, hungry hearts. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. Speak your word to our hearts, Father. Father, I pray that you would allow me to express what you've been saying to me in the night hours, Lord, what you've been speaking to my heart. Lord, that I might express it in a way that you, Holy Spirit, would be able to take these words and to build and strengthen your body In the name of Jesus, I pray. If you say amen to that, if you agree, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Title of the sermon today is, It Can Only Get Better. Amen? Did we put out flyers today? Did we put out? Yeah, okay. It can only get better. How many believe that? The Word of God says it can. The Word of God says the power verse for today. Can you put the power verse up? It's Proverbs 4:18. It talks about the path of the just is as a shining light. Amen? That shines more and more unto the perfect day. Is that cool? Can I tell you, it's getting better and better. Just that scripture right there says, how many of you are justified by the blood of Jesus here today? How many of you know what Christ has done for you? See, you're the just, and the path of the just, it's like a shining light, amen? It's a path of revelation, if you will, where God speaks to and shows you things, and it says it shines more and more unto the what? The perfect day. How many say amen to that? Glory to God. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Like I saw all of you jumping this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. Sing it. This is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day. You know, folks, we got nothing else but today. Is that right? We got nothing else but right now. So it's a time to rejoice. And rejoice in that perfect day, because I'm going to tell you, you are in the perfect day. When Christ died on the cross, he brought you, and you believed him, he brought you into the perfect day. Is that okay with you? Hallelujah. Let that sink in for a while. Ooh, because you're already where you need to be. Hallelujah. You just might not know it. Is that okay? Come on, praise God. So I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 13. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 13, we're going to start at verse 13. The Word of God says here, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Praise God. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Praise God. That's cool, huh? Yeah. That's kind of what we do now. Isn't that right? I believe with all my heart that the body of Christ should be ministering to the body of Christ. I believe that if you got a word to exhort, to build up, to strengthen somebody, come on up. We'll give you a mic because that word might be for me. Is that right? Come on. I believe in that. I believe that the Holy Spirit can orchestrate something just the way he wants it. How many say amen to that? I'm not afraid. I'm not fearful of what somebody might come up here and say because I'll tackle you. I'm not afraid. No, I'm just kidding. It's important. And we see it in the scripture. He says, if brothers, you got a word of exhortation, come on up. Speak on. Is that right? That's good. So hey, don't be. How do I put this? Don't be selfish. If God gives you a word, share that thing. Amen? Amen. Come on. Yeah, all right, here we go. Praise God. You men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he out of it. Paul is starting with the people that were in Egypt. He's starting, and he's gonna give a foundation of where he's going with this. Okay, so he says, in about the time of 40 years, he suffered their manners in the wilderness, and when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot, and after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years, until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave them unto them Saul, the son of Cis, or Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. Can I tell you something? Just as this kind of does apply to today. Can I tell you that God's in control? That hallelujah, the Bible says that God raises one up, puts down another. Raises another one up, puts down another. You know what? You can rest that God knows what he's doing today. Is that all right? I mean, is God not looking at America? Oh, he's looking at America. He knows. So rest in that. Can I say that to you? Because there are some folks that are spending most of their mental hours worried about what's going on in our country. God, I don't believe that's what God wants you to do. I believe God wants you to focus on the kingdom and on who he is and what he's saying to you. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So walk that way, all right? Know that God can do whatever he wants to do at any time, at any place. Amen? Hallelujah. I love it. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. What's his name? Jesus. Come on. And when John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I'm not him. I'm not he. But behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Can I say that be to you? How many fear God here? How many know, man, hey, I can't do what I used to do when I was a young man. Is that right? Hallelujah. I fear God. You reverence God. You honor God. You love God. Amen? Hallelujah. Whosoever among you fears God, to you is the word of the salvation sent. For they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Hallelujah. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Remember that Paul is addressing the Jews in the synagogue on the Sabbath here. And he said, when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him, what? From the dead. Are you glad? Yeah. Come on, man. Oh, man, I'm glad. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again. Can I tell you, I want you to look at that. God fulfills his promises. Is that right? God, he said it. What? It is so. Is that right? He fulfills those promises. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Is that right? Come on. Who's he give those to? Jesus. I'll give you the sure mercies of David. Now check this out. He says, wherefore he said also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer or allow your Holy One to see corruption. What's he talking about? Being in the grave, decaying, And like, who was it, Martha or Mary that said, "But Lord, by now he stinks." Is that right? That's not going to happen to Jesus. Is that right? Huh? No. Why? Because it's promised. God held to his promise. You're not going to see corruption. Is that right? Glory to God. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid under his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. These are important words. Important that you study this. It really is, because see, these are words. Do you remember do you remember the curse that was upon man after Adam sinned? God tell him, remember now, that thou art dust, and unto dust you're going to return. Is that right? That was a promise, but it was in the opposite way. Is that right? It was a promise that now, because of where you are, because where you're standing, you're going to return to the grave. Is that okay? No, it's not okay. But see, Jesus is different. He saw no corruption, no dust, no dust. Everybody say no dust, no dust. Do you know that when they would go into a city and they would preach and people would reject them, Jesus told them, when they do that, take the dust off of your shoes as a testimony against them. Because this world holds a dust that gets on us. Can I tell you that this morning? But there's only one thing that really cleanses you from this world. It's the waters of life. It is God, the water that God gives you in his word. That cleanses you and sets you above. Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. God knows everything you're thinking. Let his waters rinse and wash you. Be washed in the water of the word is what I think it was Timothy that said that, or Titus. I should have looked it up before I brought it up, came up here. Praise God. Jesus never, never saw corruption. Is that all right? Didn't see it. Didn't have it. Come on. Hallelujah. So verse 38, man, this is the verse this is the verse that fired me up, and I said, God, what do you got? Okay, it says, be it known unto you, therefore, be it known unto you. That's why I'm going to say that to you, be it known unto you. Do you know? Be it known to you. Therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. How many know your sins are forgiven? How many know that he has washed you by his blood from all sin? How many know that? Amen. Just six? Not everybody knows? Come on, man. I said, man, we got some work to do here. Come on, yeah. Some, like one person I just saw, had both hands in the air. Oh, I know that the blood of Jesus has washed my sins away. Do you know that? The word of God says, as far as the east is from the west, and how far that is, we'll never know. He has removed your transgressions from you. Period. Yeah, well, what about tomorrow? Or the day after? You see, Jesus saw you from the foundation of the world, where the Bible says Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. It actually happened, we can say maybe 2,000 years ago. But Jesus, from that cross, from the foundation of the earth, saw every human being on this planet, and died for their sins. That's why it's a little bit incorrect, if you look at the word of God, for you to go and say, God, I've sinned again. God's going to say, what are you talking about? I have washed you and cleansed you. Do you understand that? Do you understand what God has done for you on your behalf? Hallelujah. It's a great work. It really is. It's bigger than you know. It's deeper than you've ever been before. It's higher than you've ever been before. It's wider and greater. It's called abundant life, and life more abundant. Is that right? Is that cool? Praise God. So here he says this. Be it known to you, first of all, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe. I need to go slow with this, because it says, and by him, all that believe are justified from some things. justified from the Word of God says all things. Is that right? Pretty simple. What does all mean? All things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see that? The law couldn't do this. So then he says, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days. Whose days? Your days. I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it to you. So there's things in this word, when people declare them, you're going to say, I don't get that. I don't believe that. But it's important that you go to the Word of God, because God will open His Word to you. And if it's incorrect, He'll show you. But if it's correct, come on, you better walk in what God shows you. Amen? If you know it, you better walk in it. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Hallelujah. Paul the apostle and Barnabas were with them. When they left, he said, hey, continue in God's grace. Continue in the things that God has for you. And I want to say that to you this morning. You need to continue in things God has for you. But I want you to look at something that's a little different, where he said in verse 39, says, by him all that believe are justified from all things, which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Hallelujah. I want to put up Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. And I look at this. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a, everybody say better. Better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Can I tell you that you have entered into a better covenant? Do you know that? Do you know that you've entered in to a covenant that is established by better promises? Do you know that? Are you familiar with those promises? Do you know that every promise that's in the Word of God, the Word of God says, are yea and amen. Is that right? Yes and amen. When you read it and you see it, you say, man, God, are you talking to me here? God said, yes, take it. Hold on to it. Write it down. Put it in your mirror, in your restroom. Put it on the door. But hold on to these promises, because they are all yes and amen. Is that right? Just like what we sang this morning. Healing is a promise. Protection is a promise. Is that right? Provision is a promise to anyone that will believe in what Jesus has done for them. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. Ooh. We are, folks, we're in better promises. We're in the midst of it right now. They're not heading. I mean, they're within us. They're right now. Better promises. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many want to know the better promises? How many want to seek God? But God, show me more of what you have in your word for me. Hallelujah. This is what establishes the kingdom of God on the earth. Jesus said, pray it this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Folks, we're going to see this kingdom on this earth before we leave this earth. Do you know that? Hallelujah. It's important. It's just like Egypt in Israel. Israel in Egypt, I'm sorry. Before they left, man, they saw things. They saw what God, the God of Israel, could do. It was very apparent to them. And folks, let me tell you, some folks are waiting. Oh, we're about to get out of here. Well, you know, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Can I tell you, he's already here within you? Can I tell you that? Can I tell you that thing that what you're expecting? I was praying one time. I said, God, give us revival. God, give us revival. Give us a revival, God. You know what he said to me? We want a revival. You need to celebrate my arrival. I'm here. And it's a whole different perspective. It's a whole different way of living. Hallelujah. Ooh, man. Somebody write that down. Somebody. Come on, man. Hallelujah. We go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. So Jesus tore down the wall for you. Is that right? What I love this. I love this. I think it's probably verse 18, I think, is what it, where it's at, where it ends, where we're going to stop today. But I love this verse because it describes something. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Is that right? The blood of Jesus has brought you. For he is our peace. See, the word of God says, what we just read a little while ago, it says that the law has justified them that Jesus has justified you from what the law could not do for you, okay? So being that he's justified, here's one of those things, peace. And he says, now in Christ Jesus, you are sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Do you know what both one means? I want to go back. Yeah. Do you know what both one means? He's talking about Jews and Gentiles. He's talking about he has caused both Jews and Gentiles to have access to the Father. Do you know that? You better know, because probably I would say 90% of us in this room right now were born Gentiles. Is that right? But do you know that he is a Jew who is circumcised in his heart? Do you know that? That the Word of God tells you that you're a Jew, you are Jewish because of the circumcision in your heart done by Jesus who dwells in you. Is that cool? Yeah. You were Gentile. But now, who are you? You're in the kingdom of God. You're in his kingdom. Hallelujah. For he is our peace who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He abolished in his flesh what? The law of commandments. Do you see that? Contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of both Jew and Gentile one new man. Isn't that cool? Watch this. So making peace, that's why we call him, what? The Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. You see that word there? By him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by what? The Spirit unto the Father. Can I tell you, the law could not do this. Is that right? Do you know that? The law could not provide you access. You know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come, and he would come upon men and women of God and would speak to them. But there was never the access for that Holy Spirit to come within you. And God said, I am making a new covenant with these folks. I will write my word on their hearts. Is that right? Remember that? And he says, and on their minds, I'll write them. See, it goes into your heart first. My daughter, I thought she was going to preach on this. I go, uh-oh, there she goes again. Hallelujah. The Spirit receives the things of the Spirit from God. That's why your spirit needs to be built. That's why you need to stay in the Word of God. It needs to be built by the Spirit. And it is the Spirit that transfers the information into your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions. I mean, and it is your soul that when your mind, your will, and emotions are in agreement with what your spirit's been telling you, then you speak to your body. Because Paul said, I do keep my body under subjection. Abe, in the name of Jesus, this ankle has to respond to God's word. The flow of the Spirit was within me, and there's nothing that shall by any means hurt me, is what the Word of God says. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, man. I'm lost. Praise God. Everybody say, oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Romans chapter 8, 1 through 4. How many of you guys like Romans chapter 8? Does anybody like Romans chapter 8? Oh, man, I like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, man, I love getting to some of these places in the scriptures. But it says, therefore, because Jesus had torn down that middle wall of partition, amen. There is therefore... Charlie, can I get some water? Thank you, bro. Nothing like a dry preacher. Hallelujah. Looks like I'm getting touched, but my eyes are watering. I am getting touched. Maybe the Lord wants to show me. Excuse me just for a second. Romans chapter 1. Chapter 8, I'm sorry, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Right there you say, yeah, come on, man. No condemnation. God doesn't condemn you about this stuff. All right? You're a new creation, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit. You have access unto the Father by what? The Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen? Amen. Don't go over that scripture too quickly. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. God told Moses in the old thing, he says, I place before you this day life and death. And then he tells them, choose life. You remember that? Yes. Choose life. This is the same word, but it's in where God has done the work by his Son. And now it's saying, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I want you to know, God is saying to you, choose one or the other. Quit living in both. We as a church, I mean, I was raised this way myself. I was raised Catholic, then I got saved, and then I knew everything. Became a youth pastor, and now I know nothing. But it says here, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. I remember the Holy Spirit saying to me, which one do you want to live in? Because you can't live in both. Isn't that crazy? I said, oh, my goodness. And we mix those two. You're going to see that it's the law of the Spirit of what? Life. Versus the law of the Spirit of what? Of death. Choose one. You can't live in them both, folks. Woo, that's good preaching. Woo, that'll set you free if you allow it to. If you allow that word to get in, say, God, I will no longer walk in the law of sin and death, but I will walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Isn't that cool? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Isn't that good? What the law could not do, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. Listen, what does that mean? He places the righteousness of the law, which Jesus was. Jesus fulfilled the law. How many know that? He did not die because of sin. His own sin. He died because of our sin. Your sin. Look at your neighbor and say, your sin. You got more than me. You're the cause. Yeah, no wonder Jesus died, man. He had to die. Oh, man. Do you see what I'm saying? He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. Do you understand what he's saying to you? Not after the flesh, but after the spirit. This flesh tries to lead and guide you and direct you and tell you what you need to be doing. Transmits all its information into your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and tries to get you to do things that you should not be doing. That's why the Word of God is so important to you, because the Word of God comes and says, no, man, I don't live according to that. I live according to the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says here, it says, but what the law could not do. I mean, okay, what was it that the law couldn't do? The law couldn't save you, amen? The law, but the Word of God has a nice way of explaining things to you. If you ask it a question, you ask God a question, he says, let me show you. Let me show you. How many ever had God do that to you? You ask him a question, you say, God, what about this? Well, let me show you. Oh, that's so simple, God, to some. Amen? Hallelujah. But why does it say what the law could not do? What the law could not do. I need you to look now at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Here's what the Word of God says. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. You hear that? It's already talking about the law. It only had a shadow of things to come, not the very thing that was coming. Talking about Christ. Can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto what? Perfect. For then they would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. Do you see what's happening? Do you see what the law does? It affects your conscience. And it takes you back and back and back, keeps backing you up, telling you, now you're a sinner. How many ever heard, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Amen? Anybody ever said that to you? How many of you have said that to somebody else? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I probably said it. I probably said it when I didn't understand it. But see, God is asking for us to understand what he's saying. He's asking us to believe what his word tells us. Hallelujah. I had a friend of mine tell me, he was a friend of mine, and he says, Henry, you can make the word of God say anything you want. You know what my response was to him? Not if I fear God. If I fear God, I'm going to say what God says to me, and I'm going to say it in a way that hopefully some folks will hear it, and that will quicken them and will cause them to walk in a way that they hadn't walked before. See, I'm not responsible. They said, well, yeah, you're a pastor. I'm not responsible to actually build you and strengthen you. And that's not what I can do. All I can do is speak God's word to you. What God has shown me. And what he's shown me, that's where you make a choice. You say, well, I'm going to listen to him, or I'm going to check these things. If you will, if there's anything that I want you to know this morning, you need to check the word of God. Don't believe me. Don't let any man lead you and guide you. Don't believe me. You don't have to believe me. But I am telling you what I know, because this is what God's given me. Hallelujah. So I'm going to tell you something where the Word of God says that before the law couldn't make you perfect, but now it's saying something different. Do you know that? How many believe you're perfect in the room? Raise your hand real quick. Come on, man. Come on, man. Can I tell you? There's a reason why he's telling you this. There's a reason why the Word of God is using. Do you know that Jesus said, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is what? Perfect. Do you know that God is perfect? Do you know that what he makes is perfect? Do you know that? Do you know that when he put Adam in the garden and he gave him Eve, they were perfect? Do you know that? Do you understand that? And it wasn't until sin entered in their life that it shut down things that God was trying to do through them and began to work in a way where the ground even wouldn't produce like it should. Their son killed their other son. Things went haywire. How many say amen to that? How many know that what sin is destructive and it's never good in anybody's life? It will destroy you. It will. But if you'll believe the Lord and you begin to walk after him, you're going to find that he has great things for you, strengthening you. And yes, by his son, he's made you perfect. Hallelujah. Somebody asked me one day, man, you think you're perfect, huh? I go, no, but he that dwells in me, he's perfect. And I'm dead. Is that right? Do you know that? Hallelujah. Why don't you look at another word here? Because the perfection of Christ. See, you got to believe God in what he tells you. Because if you don't, if you think you're anything other than what he's done for you, it's detrimental to you. It won't help you. You've got to believe him, what he's saying to you. Hallelujah. He's saying that you're perfect. He's saying, you believe in me? Doom, boom, bang, whatever. You're perfect. You just don't know how perfect you are. Is that okay? You just don't know how good it is that what God's done. Check out this scripture. I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 3 and 4. Check this out. This was Moses was talking. He says, hey, I want the mountains. I want all the hills. I've gotten into where nowadays, man, out when I'm praying, like for my grandkids or so, I say, God, hallelujah. I'm speaking to the mountains. I want you to hear my voice. I want you to hear. Oh, valleys, hear my voice. By his stripes, we're healed. Period. Hear my voice and place that thing out there and just walk in it. Amen? Hallelujah. But here's what his word, Moses was doing that. And he's, I didn't put that up there, but verse 2, and he says, hear my voice. And then he says this, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness unto our God. Verse 4 says, he's the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. I want you to look at that where he says his work is perfect. Can I tell you, the word of God says, he who began a good work in you, he is faithful to complete it. He's faithful. You guys remember that song? Anybody remember that song? Or am I just singing to you for the heck of it? No. His work is perfect. You are his workmanship. You are his, and what he does is perfect. How many of you know, if you asked me to build a guitar, it wouldn't look so pretty. You know, how many say amen to that? But when God builds something, he works, his work is perfect. That's what the word of God tells us. And his work, by his spirit in your life, is perfect. Do you hear me? Can I tell you, you can't even make yourself clean enough. You can't do the work on your own. It has to be by the Holy Ghost that comes into your life, leads you, guides you, and trains you. Is that okay? Cool, man. Hallelujah. I know you guys are looking at me like, oh boy, we're going to have to write this down and go look at it. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. I want you to look at this. Here's what Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, says about Jesus and the sacrifice that he did. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Do you see that? It's a very important scripture for the body of Christ today. God is waiting on us. Can I tell you that? He's waiting that his enemies be made his footstool. Can I tell you that Jesus defeated everything? How many know that? But he is the first fruit. He is the first fruit, and we are his offspring, if you will. We are the ones that are called to implement what he has done on the cross for the world. We're the ones. You're the one. You're the one. Young man, young lady, you are the one that he is waiting on. Is that okay? Waiting. He says, sit down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. The only way we're going to do that is by the Holy Ghost. And he says, for by one offering, Here's the word. He has perfected forever. How many say amen to that? Do you know that he's perfected forever? Can I just say this? He looks at you in a whole different way. Different than what you even expect. Can I say, angels look at you different. They don't see what you think about yourself. They don't care what you think about yourself. Can I say that to you? Can I tell you, I don't care what you think about yourself either. That might be kind of hard, isn't that right, Brian? I don't care what you think about yourself. It's what God thinks about you. Amen? Let me show you something. Let me just show you something. Hank, can you and Charlie come up here? And I'm gonna pick on somebody else. I'm gonna put these guys right here. You stand right there, looking towards the door. You on the other side of that, looking towards the door. These guys are angels, okay? They are guarding. Let's just say that they are guarding the pearly gates, okay? We'll just say that, all right? These guys are standing there, and they're looking in. They're looking around, and they're watching. And Ricky, come here, bro. Come here, bro. He says, oh, no. Nate, turn my mic off just for a second. Can you do that? Thank you, bro. All right. You guys are busy. That's what angels do. They're looking around waiting for you to command them. Amen? Hallelujah. But these guys are watching. These two guys are watching the gate. Now, a person has passed away, and they love Jesus, and they've known Jesus all their life. And they've walked with the Lord, and they've done what God has asked them to do. They've done his will. And this person. So now the day he's going to be walking into the gates of the kingdom. And here he comes walking. And as the angels see them, what do? Yeah. They bow.
Why are you bowing to me? We're not bowing to you, we're bowing to the one that's inside you.
Come on. All right, thank you, guys. Everybody, tell them thank you. It's kind of a little bit. Do you understand what's being said there? The spiritual things are the things that are important to the kingdom. And when this man of God was walking towards them, they bowed to him. But he wasn't bowing. They weren't bowing to him. They were bowing to the one that dwells. See, the angels see the one that's in you. You've been perfected by the blood of Jesus. Do you know that? Oh, he's working things out. Yeah, you still get a little mad, but he's trying to get that out of you. The Holy Spirit's here to bring the water of the word to wash you, clean you. That's what I was having problems. I had problems with anger. I would throw tools. I would throw lawnmowers. Whatever, whenever I was mad, whatever was around me, it went. And the Holy Spirit kept saying to me, you have an anger problem. And I kept saying, I don't, I just get a little frustrated, God. That's all I was doing? I was harboring what he was trying to work with me on. Till finally one day I said, God, you're right. I do have an anger problem. Got to that point. And then by his Spirit, he began, by the washing of the water of the word, he began to show me and explain things to me. Can I tell you, if I still had that thing going on in my life right now, as strong as it was back then, I would never be doing this. Come on. Do you understand? You don't understand. That's okay. A pastor's life is different. Can I just say, he has perfected you forever by the blood of his Son. He has sent his Holy Spirit in a way so that he can speak to you about all those little things. Because, yeah, we still do things. Can you ever live without sin? Absolutely you can. God didn't design man to sin. We've gotten so used to it, we even protect it. We say, well, I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. No, you're not. That doesn't even work in the kingdom of God. We protect what we do. I just get a little frustrated, God. Little pornography won't hurt. Oh, yeah, it will. It will destroy you. A little anger, it will destroy you. It will. It will go out of control if you don't yield that to the Holy Ghost. Amen? Ah, yeah. Here we go. Hebrews 7, verse 19. Because what I'm doing is I'm giving you scriptures that, because the word of God says by two or three witnesses shall anything be established. I'm giving you word so that you understand, as you see that, hey, I'm not making this stuff up. It's in God's word. I don't do that. I fear God. I won't make stuff up. I won't try to make you think the way I think. That's not my job. My job is to speak to you what I feel God is speaking to me. Here's verse 19, says, the law made nothing perfect. Amen? It says, but the bringing in of a better hope did. You see, how many of you said, well, nobody's perfect? Folks, that's a house that you're hiding under. You can't hide there anymore. God is speaking to you. My perfection is within you. Learn about me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn about me. It says that. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw, what? Oh, come on, near to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to need another 3 hours. Are you guys okay with that? I saw some frowns. What? Hallelujah. This is one of my favorite scriptures right here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. I say that a lot about a lot of the scriptures. This is one of my favorites, one of my favorites. It's those scriptures that when God begins to open them up to you, that you begin to, oh, I love this thing, I love this thing. It says, I through the law am dead to the law. This is the apostle speaking. I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. How many like that scripture? It's not you, it's him in you. You were slain at the cross when he was slain. When the moment you believed, you died on that cross with him. You were buried with him. He is resurrecting you even now. He's showing you new things and bringing if you will, revelation to what he's doing in your life. He's resurrecting you every time a word gets in your heart and you go, oh, I see it now. Oh, man, he's bringing revelation to you. He's resurrected. You ascended with him to heaven. Do you know that? When he ascended, you went with him. Do you know that? The word of God says that we are seated in high places. High places. He brought you into God's presence. Oh, man. Hallelujah. I don't know why you guys aren't jumping around. Anyway, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. I love that. Watch, check out the scripture. Watch this. Back it up again. It says, I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. Right? It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now, if you're dead and Christ is living in you, whose faith are you operating under? Come on. See, the Bible says we go from faith to faith. If you look at that scripture, you watch what it's saying to you. It's going to say that the faith it takes to get to Christ kills you. Is that okay? You die at the cross, and then you're resurrected by faith into this new life that you live. Your old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now you're in new life. Hallelujah. So now you're not operating in your faith because the word of God says you're dead. Is that right? It says, for the law, or through the law, I'm dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith you're operating in. It's not yours. Quit being boastful. I'm just kidding. You know what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying to you? That you're operating by his faith. Can I tell you how big his faith is? Can I tell you that every wheelchair out there, person that's in a wheelchair cannot, hallelujah, resist that? Can I tell you that the sick, those that have needs, cannot resist that? Hallelujah. Because it's not you, it's him. You are the perfection of beauty on the earth today. Hallelujah. You are the body of Christ in the earth. Hallelujah. For righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. One last scripture. This is our power verse. I'm going to show it to you again one more time. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 says this. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. You are the perfection of beauty in the earth. You're the body of Christ. How will that make you walk this new year? How will that understanding cause you to walk in 2021? I hope that you walk out of here with a new perspective of who you are in Christ. Could you stand up and let's pray? Hallelujah. Steve, did Steve go? Steve, can we get just a little bit of background music and hallelujah. How many say God is good? Yeah, how many know God is good? Hallelujah. All the time, God is good. Is that right? And guess what? He dwells in you. Yes, he does. Folks, he is not here to condemn you. He's not here to hurt you. He is here to strengthen you and build you up because you are part of his body on this planet. And he says, you watch what I will do through you when you believe these things. Amen. So let's pray. I'm going to pray that God will quicken you even more than he's done in times past for 2021. We're going to pray for you today because we're not going to have a service. You guys heard that. We're not having a service this week. We're just going to go ahead and ride through the week into the new year. Amen. Amen. How many say amen to that? Yeah. I will ask you one thing. On New Year's night, find a place to pray. Find a place to worship God and ask him to speak to you. And let's start this new year with an attitude of saying, God, I want to hear you like I've never heard you before. So I'm starting my new year that you've given me with an ear for you. You know, the Word of God says there's nobody as blind as a servant of God, and there's nobody as deaf as a servant of God. Do you guys know that? The Word of God says that. What's that mean? That the things in this world, what they see and what they hear, doesn't faze them because they are looking for what God is saying. They are hearing for what God is saying. Let's be that kind of people this year. Amen? This new year. Father, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, but by your Spirit, Father, you would, Father, begin even more this year to speak to them, Lord, that they might speak to others, that they might, Father God, be a hand, a loving hand, a loving person, Father God, to those that are around them, Father God. Use us, Father, for your kingdom, Father, for this glorious kingdom. And Lord, I speak this word to them that you've spoken to me. You are the perfection of beauty in the earth. You are a diadem of beauty in the earth, body of Christ. In Jesus' name, be that. If you agree, say amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.